You know, when you hear the Super Bowl shuffle, someone from the 85 Super Bowl Bears is in the house. And that is the case this afternoon. We're with Walter Jacobson, and unlike other shows, our guests bring their own guests. And Walter, who is a big Bears fan, has been for many years, ran into Richard Dent, a stalwart of the Super Bowl Bears of 85 recently, and said, come on in. And here's Richard, and here's Walter Jacobson. And all I can say is, Richard, you're a lot bigger than Walter.
Yeah, I don't know. I see Walter in the gym quite a bit, and we always say hi for... Yeah, for the last few years. It seems like you have more time in the gym now.
Yeah.
Is Walter doing enough at the gym?
I don't know. He seems just to walk in circles a lot. I don't know if he's doing anything.
He's just socializing.
But yeah, he's definitely socializing quite a bit.
Is that true, Walter?
I'm looking up at you at 6'5 and 300 what now?
I hope I'm not three anymore. Well, actually, I've never been three, but you know. I can appreciate you looking at me and assuming that, but I'm trying to keep the weight down. But you know, it's a pleasure coming out and chatting. You know, I've been a fan of your service in the TV business for quite some time, and when I first came here, so you know, I've been watching you for quite a bit, and just fortunately, you know, we had opportunity to come here and speak, which you know, I'm gladly to, because you know.
There's a lot to talk about.
It's a lot to talk about. Chicago, yeah. It's a great city. It's been great to me, and the people have been great. So I'm here.
Walter, what do you want to talk to Richard about first?
Don't you think we ought to talk about the cheating?
Yes.
If cheating. There, in fact, was some cheating.
If you're not cheating, you're not winning, huh?
Is that what you tell the kids? Belichick said today, or late yesterday, he knows nothing about anything. The NFL, of course, investigating whether the New England Patriots used deflated footballs in their win over the Indianapolis Colts. I mentioned this earlier, playing touch football. Here's what I remember about a football that wasn't properly inflated. I couldn't throw it very far. So I don't understand, but I guess the thinking is it's easier to catch. Is that it, Richard?
Well, it's easier to do both.
It really is easier to throw?
In wet weather.
In wet weather. Okay.
In wet weather,
yeah.
Meaning that the ball is not as slippery. Mm. So anytime, and as a quarterback, you know, some quarterbacks got different hand pressure. Some people got bigger hands that want a harder ball. And the guys who got smaller hands probably want a softer, you know, ball. So, you know, you can't make the ball smaller, but the fact that when the ball gives a little bit in throwing, you know, you're able to hold on to it. And actually, I would say in the cold weather too, but it wasn't really cold for the game. So generally, you're going to lose some pressure if you was playing in, you know, 8 below or something mm-hmm. of that nature. You're going to lose some pressure of the ball. But to do it, from my understanding, they say out of 12 balls, 11 balls were screwed up on the mm-hmm. Patriots side. You know, that's somebody did something wrong there. You know, obviously, you know, Belichick been down this road once before. You know, but I think if I can look over there and watch your signals, then I think I got it right. There's nothing wrong with looking and seeing what they're trying to do. If I know it, then I know it. To me, I need to learn the coach and I learn the players. So I'll know the pattern that what they do when you're doing the history and when you're trying to prepare for someone. So you're not out there just playing Sega ball. You have a good idea of what's going to happen.
I didn't know that the offense used its own balls. So when you have the ball, then you get to choose which ball to use.
Well, everybody, kickers have their ball too. So they have a ball to kick with as well. And you have to scrub these balls down because they got this shellacking on it. And it takes a while. So, you know.
So both teams don't use the same ball?
No. Well, both teams bring balls, from my understanding. Both teams bring 12 or 15 balls on each side. So someone is moving the balls in and out.
Okay. So
and the kickers have their balls.
Okay. So as
each
a player.
Ball is all over the place.
Yeah. So as a player, you're handling a ball during a game. Do you know this one is not inflated as much because it's easier for me to grasp it?
Like, I don't know because I, you know, my thing is, you know, getting the ball out of your hand. So I don't know the pressure and all of those things. I know that they have a guy on the sidelines on both sidelines that have all the balls. and they move the balls in and out depending on what guys do with the ball. Guys sometimes throw them up in the stands, they spike them, you know, so the next ball got to get there real quickly.
And
so,
they're all together in one place? Well, like, it's not like...
They're in a couple places along the field, you know, so with that, you don't know where they're coming from, but the fact that you have to move the balls in and out, and when balls are wet, you know, it's a guy where they're trying to keep it dry.
But the rules are the rules, and it appears that the Patriots broke the rules. If 11 out of 12 balls were below the standard in air, then they did something wrong. So the question is, what should happen to them? Do you think they ought to be taken out of the Super Bowl?
No, I don't think they're going to do that because, you know, it's a monumental spot here. I think they're probably going to do what they did before, maybe take a draft pick away. Again, like I say, these guys been down this road once before. But to me, you know, I think Belichick took it to another level when I'm recording you more so than having a guy watching you. They said it was record or somebody was watching him, whatever it may be.
That was before.
That's a little bit overstepping recording you. But if I can know and watch, have somebody watch you, scout you, that's what players, you know, that's what teams do. Everybody scouts you.
You recall in your day, Richard Dent, Mike Ditka engaging in any deflated ball shenanigans?
Nah. Mike was just, you know, his mouth was doing all the shenanigans. So, you know, Mike was creating storms, you know, with his attitude and personality.
He was deflating the players.
Well, deflating the other team. But we would have to go out there and, you know, and close that door. So sometimes that wasn't cool, but, you know, you're going into place and your coach done got them all riled up, and now you got to shut them down.
The coach is on your case right now for the things you've been saying about the drugs in the locker room.
Let's talk about that. Let me just fill people in. A good story in the Trib yesterday, Fred Mitchell writing, not all members of the 85 Bears corroborate the tales of widespread abuse of painkillers and other drugs as chronicled in Real Sports on HBO. What do you say to that, Richard?
Well, you know,
Fencek came out and said, I knew it happened. I just don't know whether or not it was abusive.
Well, what's abusive? The abusive is, you know, a player cannot find the drugs, cannot use things of such a drug. So it's no player that ever played this league can tell me that a team did not provide some type of drugs to them. To me, yeah, my coach would say, you know, if you're not hurt, then you're running from people. Hmm. You know, so, you know, you hell when you... When you're healthy, what are you when you're hurt?
Is it true that there were literally bowls of amphetamines and Percocet and other things in the locker room?
I don't know if it was amphetamines or what, but I knew when I came in, I didn't know that mean guys smoke in the locker room in my first couple, 2-3 years in the league. I'm like, they smoking, pointing, as well as things were sitting in that bowl. I didn't know what they were, my point. I'd never been down that road before. So, but once I got hurt my rookie year, I tore a hamstring and I blew out an ankle, and, you know, so we had so much swelling, so much inflammation, and I can recall them giving me Tylenol 3s, and at that time I realized that I couldn't use codeine, so my stomach was not taking that well. The next thing you know, I'm on Percodans, and now I feel like I can run through a wall. But the point of it is, you know, is no player out there can tell you that they did not provide something for you to get to the next level or to get to the next step. The point of it is that no one has given you any data on what you've taken. So now the career is over, and now I'm going looking at disability and information, and now, you know, this is stuff should be in your paperwork. And now you see there's nothing in the paperwork to talk about the drugs that you was taking, and no one never gave you any consent. Now the point of it is, every guy that made a statement, ask those guys, did any of those teams or the Bears or whoever gave them a consent on what they was taking?
As a result of this stuff.
This is the key moment here. Yeah, you know, everybody knew what was taking place, but I think the league or the team, someone holds a responsibility to making a player know exactly when is enough, what's enough. I don't know enough. I'm 22, 23. You know, you passing something to me, I'm assuming that you know, you have my best interest.
Mm-hmm.
You've
sure.
said, especially you've if you said work for the team.
Right, you work for the team. So, I mean, the team say this, oh, well, shit, the team's, mm-hmm. you know, I assume they know what's good for me. But the point of it is, you know, and I can recall my last year of college, I broke my radius here. This spot here, you guys can't see it on the radio, but you see that stitch there, okay?
Yeah. Hey, I got one of those, wow. too, from softball. Right. Yeah, my okay. arm. Yeah.
Right. So they put a plate on it in college.
Mm-hmm.
And after my last game as a pro, my first year, that's when the Bears came and gave me a consent. Hey, Richard, we think we need to take that out. And I say, why? What's the problem?
They need to take the plate out?
They need to take the plate out because the fact that it's a million to one that you break that bone.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it's a plate on it with screws in it, they said, well, you know, you won't break it in the same spot. But if it breaks, it could shatter.
Right.
And if it shatters, yeah. then you lose that movement.
Right.
So that's a consent to what's taking place and what we should do on your behalf.
Now you're saying, or you have said, that you're fearful of dementia.
Well, yes.
Are you having signs of dementia?
Well, I don't know. I'm planning to do more in-depth discovery in that space, that someone that has technology that's going to help players to know if they have CTE or what. It's something that I would like to know than having something slip up on me.
What are you suffering from? Can you say?
Well, I'm not going to say.
Symptoms?
I'm not going to say, but the point of it is, you know, I have a business and I'm trying to run my business. And the fact that I think the game of sport has taken away my ability to be the best that I can be in business, outside of football. Football is one part of your life. You still have another part.
Did you have a lot of concussions?
Well, you know, it's the concussions. Some of them you can recall, but mostly you can't recall concussions.
Yeah, because you mean like they weren't diagnosed as officially called?
Well, you know, today and yesterday was two different ways of declaring concussions.
I see.
So the fact that when you go to a disability doctor and you start and they ask you, okay, we got a three-step program. One is, you know, what's a ding? A ding is, you shake your head a little bit. Two, you see lights. Three, you had a concussion. So now let's declare how many dings you had in practice, how many dings you had in games, how many dings you had in camp. So when you look at that day by day, year by year, and you got to go through all three to declare what you think, you know, as a lineman, you see, and, you know, you're going to have light spurts and things of that nature, you know, that's taking place. But when you look at all that data over 15, 16 years, your chances of having something is pretty, it's pretty, you know, close to having
Richard,
something
let's
hot.
Richard, let's take the other side just for a minute. I mean,
what's the other side?
You know that when you get into football, this is
right.
possibly
this is
even
true.
Likely to happen. You
right.
don't have to do it. You know when you're right. in a locker room or on the bus and there are drugs passed out, you don't have to take them.
No, right, right.
So do you, how much of a responsibility do the players have to bear for being in such bad shape after a season?
Well, it's two
and
responsibilities
what do?
There,
is it
Walter.
Worth it? Huh?
You know, one responsibility is, you know, what can I do today to make it better for my kid tomorrow, or your kid, or your nephew, or somebody that might want to play the game. You know, the league has been going a certain way in this direction, and this is where change needs to take place. You see, so I have a son that's 6 and a son that's 9 that want to play, and their father is in a position to make a difference and make a change.
Ditka said he wouldn't let his kids play football. He said that he thinks the risk is worse than the reward. Do you?
It's you know, to me, I love the game, you know, and I think what we are asking for here is that, you know, after a guy play for so long, okay, I played here 11 years. I didn't have the right to go anywhere else to play.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the Bears own me.
Mm-hmm.
It's damn near like slavery is what we're talking about.
Well,
I did not have the right to go somewhere else to play. So you own my rights, right?
Right.
You was with me when you was paying when you was passing those pills. You was with me in everything that what we do. So now when it's all over and done, and now we're moving on with our lives, you still have to be there because that wear and tear took place there. It's not about just the money and what you did and what you accomplished that short period of time. Because sports is a very short period of time. But I have the right to live and to be able to, you know, employ myself and go somewhere
else. Well, I mean, the game, as I'm sure you're the first to say, the game gave you a lot of opportunity, set you up for what you're doing now, but there's some responsibility there, obviously. Let me take a break here, and then we'll come back more with Surratt Merciano, Jacobson, and Dent. It's a terrific law firm, if nothing else. But first... Continuing with Walter Jacobson and our special guest, Richard Dent, who along with Jim McMahon and Keith Van Horn are part of a group of former players accusing the league in a lawsuit of supplying them with strong painkillers and other drugs that allowed them to play but ultimately negatively affected their lives. The lawsuit seeks unspecified damages on behalf of more than 500 former players. Richard, I don't want to jeopardize the suit, but you certainly seem pretty sharp to me, so... I hope you stay in good health.
Well, that's mentally, but, you know, again, I'm trying to keep my weight down because if my weight go down, then, you know, I found out that I got an enlarged heart, you know.
And you're still a relatively young man. How old are you now?
I'm 54.
Yeah,
I'm 54.
Okay.
So, you know, it's what you see outside, you don't know what's going on inside.
Of course.
So, you never know a person's situation. This is not about guys that, you know, if you never take anything, God bless you. But the part that's important here, somebody has to be responsible. We had 122 guys die last year.
Yeah,
122 guys. Yeah. When that many people die, people kind of stop and say, "Hey, what's really going on?"
Well, I mean,
now,
you know,
got guys of different ages, old, young. You know, you have it all different areas. And death is something that comes along with it. Go ahead.
I mean, did they die of something like? All different causes or
well,
related to?
All different kind of causes. Some of age, some of old age. But the point of it is the biggest thing that hurt guys is sleep apnea at the end of the day. You know, painkillers, what it does is swells up the inside of your body. And what you can't do is breathe. And that's the first thing that happened. Either you have a heart attack or you stop breathing, you know, 5-10 times a night. And maybe you stop for, you know, 30 seconds, 40 seconds, a minute. Yeah, you know, so the key is now you got to sleep with these masks, so yet oxygen can be pushed down your throat.
And then you have the tragedy of guys like Dave Duerson.
Now you got guys that you know got pain, got issues that you know can't recall this and that. You know, I feel some things. I don't know what the future entail, but I know that you know that this didn't just happen on my dime. You know, it was someone else that I was working with.
Gotcha.
That provided for me because it was nowhere else for me to get it. And it took a while for me to understand after I was finished, my body is craving for something. And I'm like, well, I don't know what the hell it is. I don't know. Game is over. Mm-hmm. My mind is somewhere else, but my body's still asking for something.
As long as you mentioned the future, we can't let you out of here without talking about the Bears' future, the new coach. Do you know Fox? Do you think Fox is the right choice?
Go ahead. I think it's a good step in the right direction, without a doubt. You know, listen to him talk, and like he said, let's get to the basic. The game is simple. It's running, blocking, and tackling. Okay? That is the basic part of the game. Now, obviously, you can't hit people in some ways, and, you know, you got all these different ways of, I got to catch it, I got to hold it. And if I hit you on the ground, the ball comes loose, it's not a catch. Well, to me, it's the same thing. If I hand it off to you and I hit you and I threw you to the ground and the ball come up, that should be a fumble. If you can't come up with it, then you don't have the right to hold it. But it's so many different rules. But I think that, you know, it was a treacherous season last year. I thought the Bears should be like at least one or two in the NFC. But for whatever reason, you know, the guys didn't stand up and be responsible for their own job. You know, that's more than anything. Footage has been put out there with those other 32 teams can see what you do.
That's a suggestion that Cutler wasn't up to it. And you think Cutler probably is not the guy who ought to quarterback the Bears?
Well, Cutler, you know, I hear a lot. I mean, I hear a lot of things about him that, you know, it's just even with their own teammates of being asking for autographs and having issues with getting autographs from your own teammate. You know, that's, you know, it's, you know, body language generally tells a story. You know, I mean, you can't be so cold where body language, you don't even use body language. Body language tells you what you're thinking inside.
How about him as a passer?
As a passer, I think he's a good passer, but I just don't see fundamentals stepping off his right foot, throwing the ball. You know, you see him get in a shotgun, and I don't really scout him, but I see enough. You know, I mean, I'm a premium skybox holder for the Bears. I spend money over there with them. And but I just don't see when he goes shotgun, if he go audible, it seems like he forget his footwork and he throws the ball going across his body. He's good going to the left when you like that. But when you got to go to the right, passes are everywhere, you know.
Richard, could I get you on my touch football team next fall?
Wow.
You can play quarterback if you like.
Oh, yeah, it's touch,
and,
maybe.
And real quick.
I do have a good arm.
I'm sure you do.
Yes or no to your sons playing football?
You know, I do drills with my sons every Saturday. I teach them to think slowly but move fast. So once a kid understands his agility, then his mind can declare what he needs to do. It's still out there for me right now.
Richard Dent, probably was the most fearsome player on that great Bears defense, the 85 Super Bowl champions. And this has struck me every time I've run into Richard over the years. On a football field, if I got the ball and he's running after me, I'm calling my mama. You know what I mean? Because this, I don't want him touching me. But every encounter I've had with Richard Dent over the years, people say, "Well, what's he like?" And they always say, "He's cuddly. He's friendly." But you know, on the field, you're a monster. Yes, Sunday. Stay away from him on Sundays.
This is true.
Thanks for coming in, Richard.
Thank you,
Walter. Thanks for working out with Richard Dent and bringing your little friend in today.
Yeah, I'm going to make him strong one day.
Let us know how that goes.
In the future.